Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I want to read for you today a few pages out of the book Testimonies to Ministry. I want to read for you today a few pages out.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on Advent Light Ministry. Welcome, everyone, as we may interrupt the Sabbath. As we know, we are looking forward for Sabbath day of rest. We are here today to give God thanks and praise for all the blessings that He have restored upon us. So, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, wherever you are, if you are able to bow or kneel, let us offer a word of prayer, giving God thanks for the blessing. Kind and loving, righteous Father, we, your children, come before you once more to give you thanks and praises, Lord, for all the things that you have done for us. We thank you for your protection. Each one of us go travel on the street. You brought us back home safely, and now we are here, Lord, to lift up our voice to the ill from whence cometh our help, and we know our help cometh from you, and also our health, Lord, that you said you wish above all things that your children would prosper and be in good health so that we can join to fellowship with you and also to share your love with others, the truth that you have given unto us. And as we are, dear Father, in the Sabbath day, looking forward to have a grand time with you, we are asking you, Father, to pour your Holy Spirit upon each heart so that we will feel your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Again, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell, voice, sister on behalf of Sister Carla. She is traveling, and she is called earlier that she's at the Richardson home, right? So we thank God that Sister Carla was able to visit the Richardson, and she is there now. But, you know, there she asked me if I could host for her, and it is a pleasure for me to be here on behalf of our dear beloved sister. So we ask you, Lord, to lift up Sister Carla, also Elder Richardson family, as they meet to, Lord, to praise and to give you thanks for all the things that you have done. So, brothers and sisters, God is good. He's so great. And as we are focusing on the Sabbath, brother, we know that the Sabbath is going to be a test, right? And God had shown us, and he promised that he will be with us, he will be faithful. So I was reading the scripture here, Exodus 20. This is something, this is scripture that we know, brothers and sisters. But the Lord said we have to go in and search these words for ourselves and to believe in these words, because we know that the crisis is ahead of us and it is here, and we have to be faithful. So, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, as God said here in Exodus 20, say, and 1, I can just read 1 to 6, and then I will jump down. Brothers and sisters, and God spoke all these words, saying, not us being, I am the Lord thy God, right, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And we know the children of Israel, out of the house of bondage. We know they were in bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before thee. God wants us not to have any God. Nothing that we put before, you know, we know God is saying to us that we must not have or worship any other God beside the true and living God, Jesus. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, and I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate us. So there is no other God. God is a jealous God. And we have to be faithful and be obedient to his word. Brothers and sisters, so my prayer today, evening, that God, you know, open our hearts and mind and soul so that we can serve him and believe in his word. And also in 6 said, and showing mercy, right? He's a jealous God, right? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and unto the third and fourth generation for them that hate me. So even the third generation, we saw what is happening now, that the generation turned from God, and they are doing their own thing, right? So we have a work to do out there for these generations, but first we have to make it right with the Lord. And showing mercies unto them that keeping my commandment. Thou shalt have not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold them guilty that taketh his name in vain. So, brothers and sisters, in anything we do, God is telling us we must not take his name in vain. And this is what is bringing the test. All what is happening in this world now, all the various laws and what is going around and the crisis that we have been experiencing in our life, that even the plague that is here now, right? We know that all these things is going to draw and bring us closer and closer to the coming of the Lord. He said, we must remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Brothers and sisters, that is a command. And we here gather this Sabbath evening, Lord, to give God thanks and praise for the blessing that he have stored upon us. So, my dear beloved, as we have read Exodus 20, and it point out point by point what God have done and who he have given and what he want and expected us to do. So we are asking my brothers and sisters, please, we have quite a few brothers and sisters on the line. Tonight is Sabbath evening. Grace, God kept us for the 6 days, carry us too. And I do know that he had blessed us, and we have something to share, and the joy that is within, brothers and sisters, God representative, and also ambassador, he wants us to share. So please, I'm asking everyone here on this line to press number one so that you can share. God has been blessing us. So let us give him the praise, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you all for joining. Welcome to Advent Light Prayer Line and for Sabbath Blessed Rest. Thank you again. I'm going to open this one. 631-552, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
This is Brother O'Neill, calling from VA. Not in New York at this time. I'm calling from VA. I want to thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Thank him for safely taking me to another week, not just me alone, but those that I work with as well, and for my brothers and sisters who are on the line as well, and all the family of God. God has safely take us to another week, and he has preserved our life, and he has caused us to worship on this most glorious day, the day, the memorial of creation and redemption. So each and every one of us have the opportunity to praise God and to give thanks for his goodness endured forever. I want to share a quote from the book Counsel on Health, a very interesting book. All of us should read this book, Counsel on Health. And here is Sister White, Essential to Health. Here's the question that she's saying in Counsel on Health, chapter, section 2, on page 37.1. She says, many have inquired of me, what course shall I take to preserve my health? And then remember what Sister Paul just read. She was reading from the commandment of God in Exodus. So she said, what course shall I take to best preserve my health? My answer is, cease to transgress the laws of your being. That's what she says. Cease to transgress the laws of your being. Cease to gratify a depraved appetite. Eat simple food just healthfully, which will require modest simplicity. Work healthfully and you will not be sick. You see, the person asks the question to Sister White, what is the best way I can preserve my health? And she outlines the way how you can best take care of your health. And she says in paragraph 2 of 37.2, it is a sin to be sick. Mercy. It is what? A sin to be sick. For all sickness is the result of transgression. Many are suffering in the consequence of the transgression of their parents. They cannot be censured by their parents' sin, but it is nevertheless their duty to ascertain wherein their parents violate the laws of their beings, which has entailed upon their offspring so miserable an inheritance, wherein their parents habits were wrong. They should change their course and place themselves by correcting the habits in a better relationship to health. So we know that many of us have inherited tendency, but many of us also have cultivated tendency, and we have to cease from disrupting the laws of our being, sin against the laws of our being, by following the laws of health that God has placed for his people at a time like this. We're living in a time, a day and age where we have to preserve our beings. We have to do the things that God has outlined in the Bible, how we should function. I'm going to sing this song as I go. This is a song for each and every one of us. Whatever we are going through, God will take care of us. In this song, God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through days of toil, when heart that fail, God will take care of you. When dangers face your path is fair, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Amen.
All you may need, he will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask, he will deny. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Amen. You finished, brother, aren't you?
Amen. Thank you, Sister Paul, for opening my line.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Honeil, for that quote reminding us, you know, that sickness, you know, is a transgression, the law, God, right? And it is a sin to be sick. And God doesn't want us to be sick. As yesterday, we were on our health message, brothers and sisters, And it was so powerful, right? The instruction that God gave us. And, you know, as the song says, God will take care of us. And in the midst of that, the enemy creep right in. And eventually, we lost the message yesterday, but we know that God told us that he will take care of us, and we have to be faithful to him and also be obedient to his command. So I just want to thank Brother O'Neill for that presentation and also the quote. And brothers and sisters, God sure will take care of us. And as we know, that is the Sabbath blessed rest, and it also says, in AG 265.5, that human effort will be efficient in the work of God, just according to the consecrated devotion of the worker, by revealing the power of the grace of Christ to transform the life. God wants us to, our life to be transformed. You know, before he takes care of us, we have to follow his will and be obedient to him. We are to be distinguished from the world, brothers and sisters, on this line. We are supposed to be different from the world, right? So our light is supposed to be shining, distinct from the world, because God has placed his seal upon us, brothers and sisters, because he manifests in us his own character of love. So God wants to manifest his character of love within us. And the song said, he will take care of us despite of all what is happening. He promised, and we know his promise is sure. Our Redeemer cover us with his righteousness, brothers and sisters. And I do know, as we have been studying God's righteousness by faith, God is expecting to cover his son and his daughter with his new name, Righteousness by Faith in Christ. So we all have to ask him and be obedient, to strive to be the mastery. It said, in choosing men and women for his service, God does not ask whether they possess worldly wealth, learning, or elegance. He asks, do they walk in such humility that I can teach them my way? God wants to teach us our ways, brothers. Are we expected to receive his teaching so that we will be able to go and share with others? We have to ask him for that help. And can I put my words into his lips? He wants to teach them my ways. And you also want to put his word on our lips so that we can represent it wherever we go. Will they represent me? God can use every person on this line just in proportion as he can put his spirit into the soul temple. The work that he will accept is the work that reflects his image, brothers and sisters. So we are on this line to reflect the image, the character of Christ, to follow his will and to do what he wants us to do. His followers are to bear as their credition to the world the ineffective characteristics of his immoral principle. And we found that in 48, the ministry of healing, brothers and sisters, 36, 37. So we are here this evening asking my brothers and sisters, as the character of Christ is within us, as the Lord promised us all to cover us with his righteousness, as the Lord had promised us that we are a special people, we should be distinguished from the other people in the world, and God wants to manifest his own character in each and every one of us on this line. Brothers and sisters, do you ready and willing to receive his character? Let us be faithful, asking you to press number one, that you can share and give us all the praise that due to you. Because as the child of the king, a different life, you know, we should walk just as though the Lord walked while he was on earth, talk just as though we talk, represent his brothers and sisters, show love and kindness to the world. you know, so God wants to use us mightily. Thank you again for those who are pressing one. I'm going to open the line. Your line. 518-482, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good. Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Sister Cantinelli from Albany, upstate New York, Albany. And I'm happy again to be here this evening to give God praise and thanks at this moment, at this precise time of the beginning of God's holy Sabbath day of rest. Dear Lord, we come at set of sun, and at your feet we kneel to worship you, Creator King, this day your sign and seal. Our earthly cares, our earthly task, we lay aside according to your word to enter now your holy rest, the Sabbath of the Lord. Sweet Sabbath rest, your sacred hours are as a golden chain that reaches back to Eden's gate and points us home again. And when this earth shall be renewed and sin and death destroyed, shall all redeemed each Sabbath day still meet to praise their God. And I will sing a song, Welcome, Welcome, Day of Rest. Welcome, welcome, Day of Rest, to the world in kindness given. Welcome to this humble breast, as the beaming light from heaven. Day of calm and sweet repose, gently now thy moments run, bound to soothe our cares and woes, till our labor here is done. Holy day that most we prize, day of solemn praise and prayer, day to make the simple wise. Oh, how great thy blessings are. Welcome, welcome, day of rest, with thy influence all divine. May thy hallowed hours be blessed to this waiting heart of ours. Loving Father, we come before you this evening to give you praise and thanks for the wonderful way in which you have kept us during the six working days of that is past and gone to eternity. We thank you for your love that is new to us each day as we contemplate your word, as we study your word day after day and see the great love that you have for all of us, that we can still come here to give you praise and thanks on this your holy Sabbath day of rest. Father, we pray for those who are sick this evening, those who are going through trying times, those who, Lord, they do not know where to turn for another meal. Those who do not, they are lingering between the between two opinions. They do not know what to do. They don't know what to, if they must serve Jesus, and they do not even know him. And this evening, Lord, I present them before you because you know their heart's desire. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless them and you will give them, fulfill their needs as you see fit. Be with all those who are on this line this evening, Father. We pray that you will help us, that as we see the time is getting later and later, your coming is very soon, Lord. Help us that we may be able to prepare ourselves and we may try to help to prepare others for your kingdom. We pray that you will bless those who are leading out in this line, this Sister Powell and her other helpers, Lord. We pray that you will bless them and help them, that as they try to put your words together day after day, that many hearts may be impressed and that they will want to come and follow you and to praise you even right now on your holy Sabbath rest. Father, this evening we leave everything into your care, and we ask you that you will bless each one that is listening, those who will be participating in whatever little advice they will be given. Help us, Lord, that we will turn to you and our hearts may be blessed at the end of this Sabbath day. Father, into your hands we commit everything that concerns us, and we just want to thank you for hearing and for answering our prayer. I want to talk a little about drawing dawn with kindness. A few months ago, I had a little stray cat. It seemed so hungry and unloved. To be honest, I felt sorry for him. I felt pity and empathy for that poor little thing. And you know what I did? I started to put food for him. I want to show him love. I tried to reach my hands out in kindness, but he would run from me. I tried for a week to win his love, and each time I fed him, I would bring the food bowl a little closer to me. And the day finally came that he let me touch him. At first, he started and backed away. I tried again, and eventually he grew to love being petted. Time went by, and one day he jumped up and sat on my lap. He wanted to abide with me. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "Came to my mind. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." I grew to love that cat and lovingly drew him to me. Now he is my faithful companion, always rubbing against my legs before he goes to his food bowl. He taught me a lesson about God in a humble setting. Like that cat, our children must be drawn by love. When we manifest the love of Christ to our children, we show them a picture of their Heavenly Father. And that is just what I want to leave us with this evening. Consider these timely quotes from the pen of inspiration. Parents, remember that you deal with children who are struggling with temptation, and that to them, the evil promptings are as hard to resist as those that assail persons of mature years. Children who really desire to do right may fail again and again, and as often need encouragement, as big people do, to energize them, and for perseverance, for them to keep going on. So watch the working of these young minds. Watch them with prayerful solitude. Strengthen every good impulse. Encourage every noble action, right? Jesus is drawing the children, and he bids us, suffer the little children to come unto me. And on this holy Sabbath day of rest, when we are resting, we should have our children with us, sit down singing hymns of praise, giving God praise and thanks, Lord. Because if we do not teach them to give God praise when they are young, they would not be able to appreciate it when they grow older. So I'm encouraging all our parents on this line to pay attention to your little children. Be loving and kind to them. Fathers and mothers in your home, you represent God, and your disposition, you are required obedience, not with us terms of words, but in a kind, loving manner. You are to be full of compassion to your children, and they will be drawn to you. just ask how that cat was drawn to me, because I was kind and compassionate to him, giving him food. So we are in this world, we can be kind and compassionate to those who are around us, but we look around and ask God to be with us and to give us that discerning eyes so that we can see those who are in need of God's help. This evening, Lord,
amen.
I place each one into your care. Grant us that discerning eyes as parents and all of us on this line. Open our eyes that we may be able to see how good you are to us, and we should treat others as we deserve to be treated by others. And I just want to thank you, dear Father, for being with us on this line. Bless us, Lord. Bless each one, and bless all the others who are coming on this line to be encouraged. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Samuel. Happy Sabbath to one and all.
Amen. 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 Yes, we finished, Sister Canzanelli. You were saying something else?
No. No. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, my dear Sister Cantinelli, thank you for reminding us about the precious jewel that God has given unto us, our children. And, you know, that is a responsibility that we all should have, our children and our grandchildren, to teach them and to the ways of the Lord. Because if we do not do it, they are going to be out there and lost. And as you will give us these little tips and also the word of God, we just pray that, you know, some of us have our grown children. They are grown, you know, and they are not at home, but we can lift them up to the Lord and also encourage them and keep praying for our grandchildren, our community children, our brothers and sister children, your church children, those are in the college, you know, those are at school. Our responsibility is to show them love and tender-hearted mercy, just as oh God have that love for them, so that he could pick them up and put them in his lap, look into their faces, and they were just there. And he said, we have to become as a little child. So I just want to thank you, my dear, for encouraging also for that song. God is so good. He's so great. He's worthy to be praised. And we want to thank God for this line. Our brothers and sisters can come, encourage us, share us, you know, bring the blessings, Lord, the things that God has shown them, and, you know, what we have been learning. It is really a blessing. So that with blessing that we can come together and be faithful to God and thank him for this blessed day of rest. So thank you, my dear beloved sister. And brothers and sisters, I'm asking my brothers and sisters to remember Sister Barnaby in prayer. We have not been hearing from her for quite a few days. So in your prayer, let us lift up Sister Barnaby and her family, both here and in Jamaica. Thank you again. 225-337, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I just want to thank our Father for blessing us with another week, a Sabbath day of rest. I would like to just sing just a couple of verses, Sister Powell. Let's do one. I'm going to try to do 1, 4, and 5. Holy day, Jehovah rest of creation week, the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God, 'twas man was given. Welcome. Glad we held his presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah rest. All who speak the truth must say, It was man who changed the day. In God's word, no change appear through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad we held this present blessed. Tis the great Jehovah rest. Thus I search, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly, 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we held this present bliss. 'Tis the great Jehovah rest. Welcome, sisters and brothers, to this holy day that our Father has given to us. I want to read Psalms 119, and I'll read Sister Powell. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to seek thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgment, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. And one over here, I'm going to 105. And I've been saying this week after week, but I didn't remember it all. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. And the Lord let us know that his word is a lamp unto our feet. And I just praise God that he continually to give us light. He continually to give us understanding of his word. And I just want to thank him. And I'm grateful to this holy Sabbath day. So I just welcome our Father, welcome our brothers and sisters. I'm thanking the Lord that he welcomed us in his Sabbath. Because you know what? I didn't have to be here today. He could have laid me rest to sleep. But praise God, we singing and we praising and reading scriptures, giving him the praise. So, Sister Powell, thank you. But I want to offer a prayer for Sister Barnaby because
no,
I have not heard
gonna,
her.
Brother, Sister Leola, if you're going to pray, can you just pray for the overall? Because we would like the speaker to come on that, you know, can. So can you pray if you're going to offer a word of prayer? Just pray for the request.
Yes,
well, for all of us, and just pray for us, please.
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, to offer prayers for one another, Lord. We come to bring our sisters and brothers before you. We bring ourselves, Lord, to you, Father. We are sinners saved by your grace. And Heavenly Father, as you continually to show us ourselves, Lord, and as we are getting ready for your soon coming, Father, we asking that you strengthen us and be with us, Lord, so we can continue to keep your word and please you, Father. Oh, Father, forgive us for our sins. And, Lord, Father, we lift up Sister Barnaby tonight, Lord, Father. We haven't heard her. Lord, we don't know if her family are sick. We don't know how they're doing. But, Father, you know. So we ask that you be with Sister Barnaby, Lord, as she has prayed on this prayer line for each and every one. She has lifted us up. She has given you praise. She has read the scripture. She's done such a blessing. She always was on time, Lord, and we miss her. So, Father, we ask that you take care of her, keep her, Father, and watch over her and protect her. Now, Lord, Father, as we present our sisters and brothers to you, Lord, I'm not calling names because, Father, I'm always missing somebody because of memory. So, Father, I'm asking you, Father, to touch each and every heart, Lord, on this prayer line. And I lift up each and every one of my brothers and sisters to you, Lord, that we continually to seek you. We continually to praise you on this prayer line. And, Father, we lift this prayer line up to you, that you continue to bring us on and that you continue to support and keep this prayer line going, Father, because it's nothing but your grace have kept this prayer line but thus so long. So we are grateful to still be here, Lord. And, Lord, how many people can say they are still here? Oh, we are so grateful to your blessing to be here tonight to worship you, to call upon your name, and to hear the word tonight. Father, I'm asking you to bless the speaker tonight. I'm asking you to speak to his heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to give him power and wisdom that the words he may speak, Lord, it comes straight from you, and that he would teach and that he would give us wisdom, because as the Bible says that Christ talks about his shepherds, that his shepherds are to feed his sheep, and that we are to hear the words from the mouth of his shepherd. And Father, we thank you so much for blessing us tonight, that we are able, that we are here to hear. So bless each and every one. And Father, I'm asking that the ones that couldn't make it, Lord, I'm asking you to touch their heart. They still have time to get on, that they may hear. Lord, Father, someone may be the last time that they hear. But Father, help them. Help us to seek. Help us to search you out, that we may know that God said, and not one day is promised to us, that we repent of our sins and confess them and ask the Lord to forgive us. And Lord, help us tonight that we remember all these things and for your, before your soon return. And Father, we thank you. And we ask that you bless the host tonight, Lord Father, because it's truly a blessing that Sister Power will use so much time to do and to cover so many areas. So continue to bless her and strengthen her. In your son, Emmanuel's name, we do pray. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for prayer and also for sharing. And also the saying, the song, you know, God is so good for us to welcome in Sabbath and to welcome the Lord. God is so good to us. Yes, brothers and sisters, if you want to share, you can press number one, opening this line. I know this young individual likes to sing. 272-770, your line is open. And if the speaker will be speaking.
Amen. Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. Good evening, Sister Powell. Thank you so much for opening my line. God bless you. Yes, I do have a song I would like to sing. I would like to sing Higher Ground. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm pressing
Amen.
On. Amen. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand. My faith on heaven's stable land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise. Fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled.
For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and I shall stand. By faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. My sister, I have just one scripture I'd like to read, if you have time.
Amen.
Scripture?
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'd like to read Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Amen. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and onto his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my dear
Amen.
Brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Paul, for opening my life. Happy Sabbath to all. Love you all, always and forevermore. You're in my heart. Love you. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Sister Tamika, for reminding us that we all have to be striving for go on higher ground, right? And we can't do that on our own. So as the song said, we are pressing on, brothers and sisters, every one of us here on this land. So our prayer is that the Lord will hear our songs of praise this evening, that he can place us all on a higher ground, higher experience with him, higher ground by serving him in spirit and in truth, higher ground for us to get rid of victory over our sin, higher ground that we can represent his whole character, right? And higher ground that we will be obedient with his word and with his command. So this is our prayer for each and every one of us on this line tonight. God bless. All right. 857-650. And I'm asking the speaker, if he's on the line, if you can press
Amen.
One, that we can open the line.
Amen. Hello, Sister Power. Hello, beloved brothers and sisters. I'd like to thank God, Sister Power. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts, Sister Power. Sister Power, I would like to thank Sister Tamiko for singing that song, because that song makes me feel blessed, Sister Power. I feel blessed, Sister Power. I feel the blessing, Sister Power. And Sister Power, when she sing that song, Sister Power, in the higher ground, brothers and sisters, just like Sister Tamiko say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing with gladness, brothers and sisters. Just like brothers and sisters, let's have faith in God, because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Sister Power, I have a prayer request. My prayer request before I sing, my prayer request is to pray for my mother. mother. Lift up my mother in prayer, Sister Power. Sister Power, please lift up my mom in prayer. Don't forget to pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Power. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. And you can baptize too. Pray for Brother Jahari and you can baptize in the name of the Lord. Pray for Sister Castiana, Sister Billie Jean, Sister Paola, you know how you spell Billie Jean, B-I-L-I-E, and G-J-E-L-N, Billie Jean. Lift up Billie Jean in prayer. Pray for Sister Monica. Lift up Sister Monica in prayer. Pray for Brother Jahari, Brother Javel, Brother Jamal. Pray for Brother Francisco to Sister Power. And Sister Power, I'm praying for Brother Bernard Lewis too. By the grace of God, God will deliver him at this moment. And Sister Power, God will deliver Brother Yudi at this moment. Whether you are going through, there is a God who will watch over him. There is a God who will break every chain for Brother Yudi. There is a God who will deliver Brother Yudi. There is a mighty God, Sister Power. Today is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Brother Yudi, today is the day how the Lord has made, Brother Yudi. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day how the Lord has made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it, Brother Yudi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise to the Lord, Brother Yudi. I'm praying for Sister Melissa. I'm praying for you, Brother Yudi. And Sister Tamiko, I'm praying for you, my dear sister. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your daughter. I'm praying for your sons, your daughter-in-law. I'm praying for them. I'm praying for Sister Dorothy. I'm praying for Sister Marianne. God will deliver them in the name of Jesus, Sister Powell. Let me sing a song for Brother Yudi at this moment. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to wait on His word, just to wait on His promise, just to wait. And more sing, Sister Power, sing, Brother Yudi. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. I need to love Him more. Brother Yudi, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, just to rest on His word, just to rest on His promise, just to rest, Your word is true. Just to wait on Lord, His promise. Just to wait, more, Sister Pal, sing it, Sister Pal, sing it, Sister Tamiko. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. I am Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, just to wait evermore. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. I want the word is so just to wait on His promise, just to wait evermore. May God bless you all. Yeah. For your life. Sister Powell, pray for me, Sister Powell, that God will give me a new job. Pray for me, Sister Powell, that God will send me to a day program. Brother Yudi, may God bless you with your ministry. Brother Yudi, have faith in the Lord, because Brother Yudi, he's able. He's a mighty God, Brother Yudi. Brother Yudi, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah, Sister Powell. Shout hallelujah, Brother Yudi, tonight. Shout hallelujah, Brother Bernard Lewis. God is good. God is awesome. He's worthy to be praised. Shout hallelujah, Sister Tamiko. Shout hallelujah, Sister Pearl. God is able. God is a mighty God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming on and also singing this wonderful song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just a simple faith to plunge me, knee to the healing, cleansing blood. Thank you, Brother Eli, for reminding us that we have to trust Jesus. Only Jesus can help us. So we going to another prayer, and we're asking our brothers and our sisters, Brother Yudi, if he's on the line, please, I'm asking you to press number one, time that we can go into the message, Brother Yudi. Right? So 518-482. Okay. All right. Wait a little. All right, brothers and sisters, we are going to offer word. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1111. The line is open.
1111. Amen. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Can you hear me there? Can you hear me, Sister Powell?
Yes, we are. Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for the prayers that were uplifted, especially on the behalf of the line. And also, I was very blessed and happy to hear everyone on the line, especially Sister Leola. We've been praying for her. I know in my personal prayers, we've been lifting up her family as well. And we've also been asking the Lord to bless. I have this, quick testimony before we go into our message for today. And what I'm going to do is, me and Brother Bernard did a very powerful presentation on Facebook a few weeks ago. And that presentation was about the COVID-19 pandemic and what is that we as God's people should be doing at this time. And it's about an hour and 28 minutes. And I want you to follow along and take out your notepads, because we're using a lot of quotations and a lot of Bible scriptures. This week at the health food store, we had a woman that came in, and this woman was homeless. She came in to help her mother out, and she ended up losing her house back in Chicago. And she was living in her van with her six-year-old daughter. And she came to the store, and she said she hadn't taken a shower in 8 days, and she was hungry. And, I said, okay, we will take care of you. And, of course, when it was time for her to pay, I realized, that somewhat that this woman was obviously in need of help. And she said, I'd only have SNAP, which is the food stamps. And she says that I could not afford to pay, right? And I tell you, brothers and sisters, we told her, we said, this is what we are here for. I said, we are we can take care of it. I said, the Lord will take care of it. You just go ahead and eat what you want. And we fed her, and we fed her daughter as well, you know, with what we had. And, you know, she was overjoyed. And then we started to talk to her. And she began to tell us that she grew up on magic and that they did magic and so on and so forth. But she had stated that she was, you know, that's all she knew. You know, it wasn't like it was something that she that's all she knew was the magic that she was raised upon and so on and so forth. And so Brother Bernard had talked to her, made a private consultation, and just pray for this woman because she is, I believe, searching. She said, I'm open to searching. I'm open to learning, she says, about, you know, whatever else is out there. So we want to keep her in our prayers, okay, as well as some other people that came in. And, you know, we at the first beginning in industry, you know, we're just for the first year, you know, there's not a lot that you're going to see per se come in, right? But what I'm noticing is that God is putting us in contact with people who are truly, you know, looking for a better way. They are truly looking for direction. And the Lord is putting us in contact with these individuals, you know. This other lady came in, and she was a cancer. She had breast cancer, and she had told us she had been fighting breast cancer for the past 8 years. And we were able to talk to this woman. She seemed like a very humbled soul. And we talked to her, and these are the people we are encountering, and this is a ministry. You know, we're not doing it. We are a ministry. This lady came in today with her husband. That was the second time coming in, and she said, and everybody says that. She said there's a different atmosphere in here. She said this is different. I don't think they can put their hands on it. We had our hymns playing in the background. Hymns, beautiful hymns playing in the background. Of course, we've got scriptures written all over the store, right? We have Bibles and things that they can see. So clearly they know, right? And this other woman came in. She said, wow. She said, you guys are different. Can you ask what religion you are? And I said, well, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. She said, wow. She said, Seventh-day Adventist. She said, I heard of you guys. But all I know is that you guys go to church on the Sabbath. I said, yes, we keep the seventh Sabbath, I said to her. And, you know, she said, you know, it's really great about, you know, this plant-based. She said she tried the plant-based diet, and she didn't think it was that good. She said, this is very good food that you guys have here, she says. She says, this is excellent, right? Excellent food is what she says. And she says, you know, I'm looking forward to learning more about this. I'm looking forward to learning more about this. And we say to her, you know, we are here to help you guys in the community. And she got a juice. She got a juice, a fresh juice, and she purchased some a few other things. But, you know, the Lord is blessing, you know, in the sense that he's allowing us to come in contact with these souls. And it's just a ministry. It's just a ministry. And I just, so many endless testimonies of people that we are talking to, people who have COVID coming in, asking us to use what they should use for COVID, and we're giving them and some things that they could use, people coming with GI issues. I just wanted to bring this, I wanted to have you guys listen to this video that me and Brother Bernard did. I want you to listen attentively because it's going to get into COVID and what we should be doing as Seventh-day Adventists. As we are getting ready, you know, we are in a full-time ministry now. You know, I don't have the means that I used to. And, you know, there are some people who are being patient with us. And I've been praying for that. But I believe God will provide. He will take care of our needs. He will take care of our debts. He will take care of all of these things because we are working for him. You know, people look at missionary work as if, well, why you're not working? I am working. I'm working for the Lord. That's the best work that you can do. I'm working for souls. And my Father, which is in heaven, is rich. He says he will take care of us, and he will. So pray for us. Also this week, we come in contact with a property that Brother Bernard is working on. We've got some people in New York City who are coming down, who wants to put their monies together to help us to get this property. It's 62 acres, country in Arkansas, no neighbors, beautiful place where we can meet, where we can have our camp meetings. So please keep that in prayer. And there's a house on the property. There's already two wells on the property, and there's a river that runs through 62 acres. It's already been cleared, and there's no one around, okay? And they're only asking $200,000. Now, you might say that's a lot. It is not. If you were buying a property for that price in New York and other places, you'd be paying $3-5 million, okay? This is cheap. And so we are praying that the Lord will allow us to obtain this for the purpose of his work. So pray for us, please. God is doing something special in Arkansas. Sister Carla is coming down next week with Brother Mozart, who has been on the line. They're coming down to assess the place. Brother Bernard's aunt is coming down from New York City this week as well. And we have some other brothers and sisters who's going to be coming in the future. I know that will be visiting us. My wife is getting ready to have the baby pretty soon. She's got another month left. She's very big. She's getting tired. She cannot do the things that she used to do. We're going to need help with these things, you know, because we are still running the store. So keep us in prayer. But I want you to listen. I'm going to have a word of prayer. This is a call for church members to do the medical missionary work. The title is a call for church members to do the medical missionary work. And that is me and Brother Bernard who made this video a few days ago. And I want you to listen in and grab your Bibles and tabs because you're going to find out some wonderful things that you didn't know. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Please watch over us as we listen to this video. Help us to understand and to hear clearly. And we pray in Jesus' name.
I'm Brother Yuri, and I'm here with Brother Bernard. I'm here with Evangelist Bernard Lewis, and the Lord has been impressing us to bring a study today on the state of our world as it relates to the current health crisis that so many are facing. And also, not necessarily what's happening, but what we should be doing as Seventh-day Adventist believers who have been given a message of health reform. Without further ado, we're going to ask the Lord to join us in a word of prayer. Let us pray, friends. Gracious Father, we give thanks and praise for your blessing. Thank you for your wonderful Sabbath rest that you have given unto all mankind, that we could come before you and be revived, rejuvenated, strengthened, and blessed with your Holy Spirit. We ask for your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and guide us into the path of righteousness. Bless everyone that comes on to listen, even now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, thank you once again for joining us. So I want to share a scripture, Brother Bernard, and then I'll let you go ahead and elaborate a little bit.
Okay. Okay. There's a promise that the Lord makes in Jeremiah 33.
Yes.
Okay. Jeremiah 33:3 is a promise that often is repeated, but something that I've noticed is that, and actually, in addition to verse 3, I believe the Lord continue on with the promise of Jeremiah 33:3, and he led the promise and broadened it to health. All right? So I want to read that. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not.
Mm.
So God is making the promise that if we call upon him, he will not only answer us, but that he will show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then in verse 6 it says, behold, I will bring health and cure.
Mm.
And I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Now, one of the observations that I made while looking at the promise of Jeremiah 33:3 and verse 6 is particularly in verse 6 how God is saying that we need to behold him.
Yes.
Okay? We need to behold him because he says, behold, I will bring it health and cure. So what that tells me about the Lord is that he's not only necessarily interested in our health, but he's also interested in our cure. Okay? So God is a proactive God because health should be proactive. At the same time, God is showing himself to be a reactive God because he said, if you're already sick, I can also bring what? Cure. Not that you need to get to the point where you are sick, but if you get to that point, I can also bring you cure.
Yes.
So we're actually doing this segment because there's a need. And why do we need medical missionaries to be involved in God's work? God has called his people to a certain work, especially for the United States.
Right.
And he has set the plan already. It's we have to be trained and train others. And as we receive the training, freely you receive, freely you give. So we're giving an opportunity for those who don't know that they can join and follow us and receive the training for these last days. God is calling, friend. Are you doing nothing? Are you sitting at home watching TV, or maybe you know the word, or maybe you don't know and you want to know more? Well, God is calling you. God is calling people to a work, especially in these last days when many are sick and suffering, friends. And it is our duty as church members and as those who are called to be medical missionaries.
Mm.
So we implore you to follow us, to support, also to study God's word. And that's what we're doing at this time.
And so as you brought about the need for a medical missionary work or a need for medical missionary workers, there's a quotation I'd like to bring to the attention of our viewers as we move forward with the study today.
Yes.
And that is found in pamphlet 004, page 1, paragraph 2. All right? Why are medical missionaries needed today? Now, again, there are many quotations that we're going to share with you today and elaborate on, but I want to read this quotation. It says, all around us, souls are perishing in their sins.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If that is not an incentive, then what is?
Mm.
As we look around us, essentially what we are being told here is that people are going into a Christless grave.
Yes.
There is no need, friends, for individuals to perish in their sins.
That's right.
All around us, souls are perishing in their sins. And then it says, but how few are really burdened.
That's right.
How few are really burdened. So there must be this work is a burden. In other words, not in a sense where this is something that we are carrying that's heavy, but we must have a burden on our hearts for souls in order to conduct, in order to practice the medical missionary work. It says, the world is perishing in its misery, but this hardly moves even those who claim to believe the highest and most far-reaching truth ever given to mortals.
That's right.
Now, while souls are perishing, okay, they are perishing in their sins. This is telling us that souls are rarely, hardly moved. That individuals are actually watching these things take place and are rarely or and are hardly moved. Should we be moved as Seventh-day Adventists to relieve the suffering? Now, I want to bring your minds back to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to piggyback off of that. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And I want to direct your attention to what Christ did when he saw all around him souls perishing.
Oh, yeah.
And if we are to be Christians or we are to be individuals who follow in the footsteps of Christ, should we not, in essence, do as Christ did as he looked around him and saw that souls were perishing? Okay? Notice what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, okay? And then I believe you have a quote that is connected to that, because we're going to see Christ in the city, right? It says, and Jesus went about, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages.
That's right.
Okay? So he went about all the cities and villages. Notice the cities are crowded.
Sure.
And with that condition, there comes disease and sickness.
That's right.
It says, he went about all their cities and their villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So notice what's happening here in Matthew 9. Christ is going about the cities, going about the villages, teaching in the synagogue, preaching the gospel, more specifically, healing how many sickness? Every sickness. Now, that's important because there was not a sickness that puzzled Christ, because there are many who act as if this current COVID-19 pandemic is a new element to disease.
That's right.
But in the Bible, we see Christ dealt with every sickness. You know what that means? That means he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That means Christ, okay, experienced every disease, every sickness, and he was not at all afraid of any of them. In addition, it says when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad. And then his solution was, look, we need to pray for laborers to deal with this situation because the laborers were few. And the answer for laborers is to pray.
Sure. Right. We need to pray for laborers to come into the field to conduct this work, you know, of medical missionary. And I'll read this quote, and then you can go ahead and pick up, because we see the crowded cities as being one of the main incubator of disease.
That's
okay?
Right.
Notice what it says. When Christ saw the multitude, and I'm reading from Councils on Health, page 13. When Christ saw the multitudes that gathered about him, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Christ saw the sickness, the sorrow, the want, and degradation of the multitude that thronged his steps. To him were presented the needs and woes of humanity throughout the world. Among the high and the low, the most honored and the most degraded, he beheld souls who were longing for the very blessing that he had come to bring. Souls who needed only a knowledge of his grace to become subjects of his kingdom. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And then it says, today, the same needs exist.
Wow. That's deep. That's deep. And as we see today, the cities are crowded. And what is the worst thing to do when there's a sickness, pandemic, or whatever, is being crowded or trapped in these cities where so many people are. And was that God's original plan?
No.
That wasn't God's original plan, to have everybody crowded in these cities. I found a quote here in Councils on Health, page 174. And it just blew me away with what you're talking about, because I always wondered, like, God had a plan to put his people in a place that would be healthy.
Amen.
Healthy for them. Right? And we know things grew in time. As time went on, things change. But God's plan didn't change.
Right?
So listen to this quote. The original plan. It was not God's purpose.
Amen.
That his people should be crowded into cities.
Mm-hmm.
Huddled together in terraces and tenements. In the beginning, he placed our first parents in a garden amidst the beautiful sights and attractive sounds of nature. That's why it's good to go out into the nature every once in a while, because the nature has beautiful sights. Not only beautiful sights, also assist in healing.
That's right.
And these sights and sounds, he desired men to rejoice in today.
Amen. Present truth for this time.
Today. Doesn't mean that God started out that way and he said, okay, just leave him alone. No, he expects us to rejoice in nature today, right? The more nearly we come into harmony with God's original plan, when we come into his original plan, the more favorable will be our position for the recovery and preservation of health.
That's right. That's right.
So if they would change the plan of man a little bit, see, they want to just push and push certain drugs, okay? If they would change their plan and go into nature, I would say take the patients into the nature, because they would get true healing, a blessed healing. There's no other plan. It's only just take a shot, take drugs. But if we go into the nature, as the quote says, that God desired us to go into the nature because that's where we would get the most prosperous health.
That's right.
Why? Because the trees gives off oxygen. We get our oxygen from the trees. The country gives us fresh air, a fresh air that we can breathe. For the lungs,
right.
Friends, we don't need to be crowded in these cities
where everybody is passing sickness to each other. Christ is calling us now. This is where we come. Seventh-day Adventists have been called to do a work. We have been chosen by God in these last days to educate and train our brothers and sisters, our members, to go out in this sickness that's going on in the city, especially today. Because Jesus said, let's go to Matthew 24 right now. Matthew chapter 24, I want them to see what was already predicted and what Christ knew, why he would need laborers to go out into the field. And we have to pray for these laborers. We have to have the right people going out there, brother. Let's go to 24, and let's go to verse 7, Matthew 24, verse 7. And here is Christ himself telling us what will take place in the last day. The disciples was asking. And he says in verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be what?
Famine.
There shall be what?
Famine.
Famine, friend.
Famine.
And that has the land said. And earthquakes in divers places. Pestilences is the sicknesses. How many variants and all kinds of sickness? And we don't even hear the sick, the cold and common cold anymore. It's so much flus and it's all kind of various virals. And these are the things that the Lord is talking about. And these things can be taken under control.
Mm-hmm.
Prevention. You know, I was listening to Dr. Peter McCullough. And Dr. Peter McCullough says that everybody's is rushing to shoot up with vaccines, but nobody's talking about the preventative. They're not talking about the preventative. Prevention, listen to this, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Amen.
Prevention. And I believe that God's desire and God's plan, because he put the vegetation in the beginning, when sin, before even sin came about, God's plan was to have the vegetation already there in case something happened.
Amen.
Y'all are hearing me. In case something happened, they already got the vegetation. They could take the herbs. What's that scripture, brother? The herbs.
That's where I'm going.
There you go.
Yes. So
listen to this scripture.
So as we talk about God's original plan and the and where God initially placed man, we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29,
that's right,
the original plan that God had for man. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 before we head to Psalms 104. The health message finds its origin in the Word of God.
That's right.
It's not something that was invented by an individual, but it finds its inception. It finds its it originates in the Word of God. Notice what it says in Genesis chapter 1 now, verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now, in the original plan, we were in God's image. God's image has no sickness in it. We are told in Desire of Ages that while Christ took upon himself our sicknesses, he was not sick.
That's right.
All right? This idea of him taking upon our sicknesses was him carrying our sins. And you're going to show the connection between sicknesses and sin in a little bit, because you said that God's original plan is preventative,
mm-hmm.
right? It was preventative. And even when God created the human being, he put within them
mm-hmm.
the immune system.
That's right.
Before sin.
That's right.
Amen? And so God is a wise God who cannot err, who knows the end from the beginning. In verse 26 it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice what it says in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over, again, the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, before sin, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth.
That's right.
And every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. So in the original plan,
that's right,
that God gave man, he gave them, he says, every herb,
that's right,
bearing seed.
That's right.
He gave them every fruit of a tree yielding seed. And then he says, for you, this shall be for me. So we see that the original plan that God had for man had also within it an original diet.
That's right.
That God gave to man before sin. Now I want to go to Psalms 104.
That's right.
Go to Psalms 104, verse 14.
I hope you got your Bibles and y'all following along. Psalms 104, verse 14. Let's go, friend.
Psalms 104, verse 14. Again, Psalms 104, verse 14. Now notice what it says. It says, he causeth the grass to grow,
yes, sir,
for the cattle. Now, isn't it interesting that a lot of times when, you know, because we're going to talk about the medical missionary work, but also we advocate a plant-based lifestyle, a plant-based diet, along with the other laws of health,
sure,
eight laws of health, which we're going to touch upon today. I get the question often, well, where do you get your protein? And according to this scripture, the cattle, that is, that requires a lot more protein than you and I,
sure,
is actually being sustained from the herb that God created.
Right.
According to the Bible, okay, the cattle, the cow does not eat meat. The cow eats grass.
It's grass.
He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the servant. Now, I love that scripture.
Yes.
Because this is a scripture you need to put in your mind's eye, that God created the herbs,
right,
for the service of men.
That's
right over in Revelation 22, verse 2. The Bible shows the tree of life. The Bible shows the tree of life. Revelation 22, I'm going to begin at verse 1.
Okay.
Revelation 22, verse 1. And this is interesting because this is the last chapter of the Bible.
Last chapter.
In the first chapter of the Bible, God is advocating the original diet.
That's right.
In the last chapter of the Bible, he brings us back to the original diet.
The original diet.
the original plan that God had, right? Genesis 1:29, Revelation 22:2.
Right.
Notice what it says in verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of what?
Life.
Life. So we're dealing with life, okay? Clear as crystal.
Mm-hmm.
This water is not dirty. It is a clear water. It's clear as crystal. In other words, you ever see crystals, friends? When you turn a crystal or a diamond, it resonates, it sparkles in the light. We are actually going to be in a place in heaven where the water is going to sparkle. Mercy, friend. There's gonna, when the sun shines upon that water, it's going to sparkle. In fact, when Christ's light shines upon it, it's going to sparkle.
Right.
You can actually see your reflection in this water like a mirror.
That's right.
And so this is a symbol of purity. Amen?
Right.
It says, this water proceeds. In other words, it's coming from where?
The throne of God.
God. So in the throne of God, I want you to understand this, friends, that this water is coming from his throne. And the Bible says, hey, mercy. The Bible says it's coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb.
Mm.
They share this throne together.
Mm.
This water is coming from heaven, coming from the literal throne of God. Coming from the literal sanctuary, there's an abundant source of water, which I believe that water actually originates in Christ.
Yes.
And then it says in verse 2, in the midst of the street of it, stand on either side of the river. So there's this tree. Get the picture. This tree is so big that it's branching on either side of this river. And I can imagine that this river is not a narrow river. This is a wide river. Are you following? This is a wide river. And this tells us that in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of what? Of life.
Life.
Which bear 12 manner of fruits. Can you imagine a tree with 12 fruits on it? Now, you know, this is interesting because whether the fruits are every month, whether it's different fruits every month, the point of it is it bears 12 manner of fruits.
Yes, yes.
And then it says, notice that the purpose of the tree is not only to eat the fruit. I don't know if they understand this point because we've read in Psalms, let me make this point. I'm going to give it to you, brother. Hold that thought because I got to make this point. The fruit is not just the tree. The purpose of the tree is not just for you to eat the fruit.
That's right.
Now, the fruit is good.
That's right.
Are you following? But there's another part of the tree that God wants us to eat. Even in heaven. And it says, and this tree bear 12 manner of fruit and yield her fruit every month in the leaves of the tree. Now, we're talking about the leaves, right?
That's right.
The herbs, Psalms 104, verse 14, that are from the herbs that are for the service of man.
That's right.
The leaves of the tree are for what? The healing of the nations. The healing of the nations. So in God's original plan, in the beginning, we see the herbs given to us, and all the way up at the end, even in heaven, we see the tree given to us with the leaves that are for the healing of the nation. There's a scripture in the Bible that says that Satan, I believe it's in Revelation, that Satan causes, you know, sickness and diseases, right? And here we see that God is bringing about healing. Now you say, well, why do we need healing in heaven? Friends, even in heaven, even after the Lord translates us, we're going to need to continually partake in the leaf of the tree. Ellen White also says that this leaf of the tree, we do not have to wait until we get to heaven to partake of. She says it is found in the pages of the word of God. Now, you are going to make a point. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's powerful. That's powerful what you're saying. Because many people, yes, we know that the fruits on the tree will bear a nutrient that is actually going to heal the people. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, there's a saying that a plant-based diet ain't going to save you and all of that. No, that's not what we're advocating. What we're advocating is physical, mental, and spiritual. It all goes together.
That's right.
The Bible tells us that, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the living God? So we are, and also we have been brought at a price. So we are responsible for this body. As you are responsible for your car when you buy your car at a dealer off the bank, you're in possession of that car. You have to make that payment until you pay off that car. It ain't yours. It's the bank.
Right.
So guess what? If you don't take care of that, if you don't pay that payment, then that bank come and take your car. So it is with the body. If you don't take care of this temple, and Revelation talks about Christ will come and take that light, your candle, from you. Now, I just want to make this, I want to read this right now about the tree of life. Listen. She makes this quote, Review and Herald 26, Daniel 26, 1896.
Review and Herald 26?
Yes. January 26. Review and Herald, January 26, 1897. And listen, a lot of people say, oh, that was years ago. No, it applies to us today. The principle that God had in the beginning with Adam and Eve still applies to our principle today. Now listen to this quote. The tree of life is a representation of the preserving care of Christ for his children. You see that? The tree of life is a representation of the preserving care of Christ for his children. Christ is preserving us through his care from the tree of life. It goes deep.
Mercy.
Listen to this. As Adam and Eve ate of the tree, they acknowledge their dependence upon God. Okay? They acknowledge their dependence upon God. Are you acknowledging your dependence on God? It's not the food. It's not the plant-based food. It's your dependence on God to take care and heal you. Trusting in his word. Why? Because we know that McDonald's, Burger King, Pizza Hut, all that fast food stuff ain't going to help us. No way, spiritually or physically. Come on. But the tree of life is advocating a healthier diet, friend.
Right.
We're trying to educate you to help you to be preserved that when you get to heaven, see, you already got a part of the story. Christ now leads you to him so that you could be preserved by his care. Now watch this here. It also goes on to say, okay, the tree of life possesses the power to perpetuate life.
Mercy.
The tree, I'm going to say it again. The tree of life. I don't think y'all hearing me.
No.
The tree of life possessed the power to perpetuate life as long as they ate of it.
That's right.
Are you eating up the tree? How about the spiritual tree?
That's right.
Remember when in John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus says to as many as have received him, to them gave power, power. You know, some verses take the word power out, but I keep the power in. King James got the power in there. I like that because Christ, who gives us power? It is Christ. I understand the right, but Christ gives us power to become the Son of God. Have mercy. Let me finish off the text. Let me finish off the quote. She goes on to say, they could not die. As long as they ate of the tree of life, they could not die. Friends, as long as we're studying, as long as we're in Christ, as long as we're in the Word, you know, John chapter 5, verse 24 talks about, though a man die, yet shall he live.
Yes.
Mercy. That verse is telling you, even though you die today, as long as you're in Christ, my friends, as long as you're in Christ, you shall live. Why? Because you are taking part of the tree and part of Christ. You understand? Because Christ, who put the tree in the garden? Christ. And if Christ put the tree in the garden, guess what? Christ knows what he's doing, friends. Let me just finish off a quote. The lives of the Antediluvians were protracted because of the life-giving power of this tree, which was transmitted to them from Adam and Eve.
That's right.
Okay, that's how they lived all these years. That's how they lived all these years. Berries is not the berries we eat today. But guess what? Even the berries, by God's grace and his love, they can help us.
That's right.
It will lower your blood pressure. It will give you the antioxidants that you need. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
So, yes, we're not saying that a plant-based diet is saving you, but no. What we're saying is, to him that knoweth to do it good
and
do it not, it is sin. Come on now, friend.
So what I'm seeing or hearing is, to hammer on the point, is a preventative approach is better than a curative approach.
That's right.
Okay? If you are someone who has, you know, I like to, the Bible says in Isaiah 118, come now, let us reason together.
Right.
And sometimes our mindset, because of sin, we cannot reason properly. Isn't it better to be preventative or to prevent health as opposed to be treating disease when it comes? You see,
right.
God is a preventative God. Think about it. In the beginning,
that's right.
He wanted to prevent sin,
that's right.
Right? But men desired or men insisted in going in their own way. That's right. But it was never God's design for sin to come in. And God, seeing this, put in our system the immune system. Mm. Have you ever thought about why would we have an immune system when there was no sin to begin with?
Mercy.
Did it just evolve in our bodies? No.
No.
God designed a body already with an immune system because he foreseen the emergency.
That's right.
That we would deal with. And I want to read this in Counsels on Health, page 28.
Yes, sir.
Let's go there real quick. Counsels on Health, page 28. And notice what it says in Counsels on Health, page 28. One of my favorite quotes here.
And we encourage you, friends, if you don't have the book, download the app.
That's right.
Counsels on Health. You don't have to be a Seventh-day Adventist to read this. You can download the EGY app, and all these books are at your leisure on the app. Counsels on Health. That's the book we're dealing with right now. And you can read this for yourself and see if it be so and match it up with the Bible.
That's right. I'm going to begin at verse 25. Is that all right? Page 25.
Yes, sir.
Counsels on Health, page 25. And we're specifically calling for the medical missionary work to begin again in our churches. Instead of all of these infightings on Facebook about whether you believe in the vaccine or not the vaccine, all of that is a distraction. It is a diversionary tactic. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up in this friendly fire. But really, unfriendly fire, because it's coming from our midst.
Satan's plan.
Now, look, notice what it says in Counsels on Health, page 25. I'm beginning there at page 25. Yes. It says, we are living in the midst of an epidemic of crime, at which thoughtful, God-fearing men everywhere stand aghast. The corruption that prevails, it is beyond the power of the human pen to describe. Every day brings fresh revelation of political strife.
Well,
we see that today.
Yes, we do.
Political strife, bribery, and fraud. Every day brings its heart-sickening record of violence and lawlessness, of indifference to human suffering.
Yes.
Even among Christians, we are indifferent to the suffering of our brothers and sisters when we are refusing to take up the medical missionary work.
Mm.
We are refusing to leave our secular jobs to begin to do this work at once, because we are told, friends, that the time would come when the only work that we should be doing is the medical missionary work.
That's right.
That time is upon us today. Notice what it says as I continue with the quotation. It says, every day brings its heart-sickening record of violence and lawlessness, of indifference to human suffering, of brutal, fiendish destruction of human life. Every day testifies to the increase of insanity and murder, and of suicide.
Suicide.
Suicide. Who can doubt that satanic agencies are at work? Among men with increasing activity to distract and corrupt the mind and defile and destroy the body. And while the world is filled with these evils, the gospel is too often presented in so indifferent a manner as to make but little impressions upon the consciences or the lives of men. While we are seeing all of these things going on, the gospel is being presented, according to the servant of the Lord, in an indifferent manner. As she puts it, sleeping preachers preaching to a sleeping people. So we need to be awakened to this work. Notice what it says. I'm continuing. Everywhere.
And notice that suicide went up.
That's right.
Since COVID came out.
That's right.
Suicide went up.
That's right. Everywhere, there are hearts crying out for something which they have not. Who's going to give it to them? Paul said, how shall they hear without a preacher? It says, everywhere there are hearts crying out for something which they have not. They long for a power that will give them mastery over sin, a power that will deliver them from the bondage of evil, a power that will give health and life and peace. Many who once knew the power of God's word have dwelt where there is no recognition of God. This is in the church. This is in the church. There are people who are living as if they have no recognition of who God is. They wake up in the morning, no devotion, no prayer, and they are heading to a world how they can earn a living and have no recognition of who God is, my friend. And this says, many who once knew the power of God have dwelt where there is no recognition of God, and they long for the divine presence. And here is the present truth for today, because if you follow this study, and all of our studies, we always bring it to today. Here's what she says next. The world needs today. The world needs today. Not tomorrow. Today. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The world needs today what it needed when this was written 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded. And it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. Notice what God wants to restore. He's not only interested in restoring our spiritual health. He's interested in restoring our physical, that deals with disease, our mental, that deals with the mind, and our spiritual. He desires to restore us back to health. He desires to bring us back to the original plan, as we saw in Genesis 1:29 and Revelation 22, verse 2.
That's a powerful quote there, brother. And as we see, Christ, what is Christ's mission? What was his mission? To bring man back to the image of God. To bring man back to the image of God. As you see today, what's taking place because of sin, the love of many is waxing cold. The love of many is waxing cold. Who will spark that love? Who will go for the Lord? Is it you? Is it I? What are you doing for the Lord? Are you studying? Are you prepared? Are you ready for what will come upon the land? What will come upon the land in a sudden destruction? When they say peace, peace, and safety, come is what? Sudden destruction. We're seeing it, friends. Wars on every side of the planet. The rumors of wars is already fulfilled. And friends, we are at the point where the famines and diseases are rampant now. One variant coming out, another variant coming out. They got different names for the variant, and it is exploding, friends.
Satan experimenting in the laboratories of nature.
Have mercy. Stay out the laboratories, y'all.
But hold on. So in Psalms 103, because our focus is preventative, as well as what is the work, how do we propel the work forward, and how do we minister to those who are suffering? Because we read that the reason why there is so much suffering today is because of a lack of the work that we should be doing at Seventh-day Adventists. And I say we because I'm included in that. We have neglected the work.
That's right.
And so now the Lord is trying to figure out how do we pick it up and propel it forward. How do we bring it back to the original design? What the pioneers were doing, you know, in the inception of what God had given us. And we are told that if we have followed the divine plan as it was given in the Word of God, because the health message originates where? In the Bible. The health message originates in the Bible. We see it in Psalms 104. We see it all over. And I'm going to show it to you now in Psalms 103. And notice what it says in Psalms 103.
This text is going to prove what he's going to say right now. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. Listen. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth,
mercy.
And every herb of the field before it grew.
Mercy.
For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So the plants and everything was already there. God had already put it there for a reason, friends.
original plan. Go ahead, Doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the preventative approach is better than the curative approach.
It's gotta be.
All right? It's gotta be. If you are reasoning with your mind, Isaiah 1:18,
sure.
The preventative approach is better than a curative approach. Now notice what it says in Psalms 103. Here's mm-hmm. God's preventative approach again.
That's
all right. Psalms 103. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name."
Mm-hmm.
"Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all."
Not some.
Not some. All.
All.
His benefits.
All.
All his benefits.
Right.
All. Not some. All his benefits. Meaning God has benefits for everything.
So you got to take God at his word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, "Oh, well, I think, or maybe he's not going to give it all to me."
Right.
He says, all
his benefits. Now, notice, verse 3. What are his benefits? Who forgiveth all. How much? Who forgiveth all thine iniquities.
Mm.
Who healeth some of your diseases.
No.
Oh, is that what it says?
I thought it says.
Wait. I think I read that one. Hold on. It says, wait, let me read it again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all your diseases except COVID-19.
Oh, no.
Is that what it says? No, that's what it
says. No. It says all.
Okay. It says all.
COVID and all.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Perfect. So let's read it again then. I missed that point.
That's right.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Now check this out.
Okay.
Listen. Iniquities, friends.
Uh-huh.
The iniquity is your stubbornness not to believe God's word.
That's right. That's right.
That you're so stubborn that you're saying he ain't going to heal me.
No, okay.
Why God put this on me? He's willing to take the iniquities from you.
Yeah.
Your stubbornness.
Yeah.
And he's willing to heal all
that disease. Now, here's the interesting point. Is COVID-19 a new element to disease?
No.
COVID is not a new element to disease. I want to take you to the definition of disease as written in the Ministry of Healing, page 127, paragraph, page 127. Also, Councils on Health, page 90.
Another book, friend, Ministry of Healing. Write it down. Councils on Health, Ministry of Healing. Write it down. These books are going to help you,
friend. Right. Now, go ahead, brother. You want to read that?
Okay. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health.
Mm.
Did you get that? Let me read it again. Disease is an effect of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. God has health laws. So when you violate his health laws, this is where the disease shows you.
Okay. So there's a connection then you're saying,
there's a connection
between disease and iniquity. Wait. Let's go back to Psalms 103 again, verse 3, because I think that is in sync with the definition of disease, according to Ministry of Healing.
That's right.
Because many are saying, okay, what is she talking about? Well, let's see, but it originates in the Word of God.
That's right.
Psalms 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine
iniquities.
That is what? Sin.
Sin.
Who healeth all thy diseases. So God connects iniquities with diseases. God connects iniquities with diseases. And then it says, verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That means death. So God is able to redeem our life from the sicknesses that was brought upon us by disease. Now, here's the question. If God is the healer of disease, could God be the one causing disease? Because often what I hear is,
that's a good question.
God brought this upon me.
Did you hear what he said?
If God is the healer of disease, can God be the cause of disease? Because that's, for me, that's confusion. If God is bringing disease upon the human beings, then how can he be a healer? Wait a minute. Didn't the Bible say if Satan cast out Satan, then how could his kingdom stand?
Yeah, that's right.
If God is bringing healing, how could he bring disease? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense. Disease is caused by our iniquities, and disease, we are told Satan is the destroyer, and God is the healer. Now notice God's plan in verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Amen. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with
good things.
Now, it's not McDonald's.
Good things.
Not Burger King.
Good things.
Now, when God says good things, all right, things that taste good are not necessarily good for you. All right? Some things that taste good are good for you. Your fruits, I love mangoes. Mangoes, I grew up on mangoes in Haiti. I used to eat mangoes.
Love the mango.
And I love the sour stuff fruit. Okay? I grew up eating those mangoes, okay? The mangoes were good because we had about 150 different kinds of mangoes.
That's right.
And they were ripened. And sometimes, you know, we would just eat that mango and it'd be dripping all over your arm.
That's right.
Now, mangoes taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's good for you. Absolutely. There are some other things that man has created. Through sin, we have perverted our appetite. There are some things that men have put together, some concoctions, all right, that they smell good. They may even taste good, but it doesn't mean they're good for you. I want to show you God's preventative cure. And we're going to go back to Ministry of Healing 127. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Now notice the thought is not finished. It says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. In other words, the good things that God has provided for our food will renew our youth like the eagle.
Come on. When I was weighing 250, 270. Okay. And the Lord renewed this brother. No more high blood pressure medication.
No more diabetes.
No more high cholesterol, diabetes. God is good, and he gives you good things.
Yes. And he wants to renew. He wants to renew.
That's right.
Our youth.
That's right.
He wants to renew our health. And he is here saying, look, man, look, he's essentially reasoning with us. He's saying, look, I can bring about cure. And I can bring about a new experience for you. Now, I want to point them to the definition as written in Ministry of Healing because we touched upon a point, and you mentioned, is COVID-19 a new element to disease?
Mm-hmm.
Did COVID-19 take God by surprise?
No way.
Did it take him by surprise?
No way.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
I think God is in the sanctuary trying to figure out what to do.
Then he ain't God. That's a problem.
Oh, wait a minute. So God already had a plan.
He had a plan.
He already had a plan
to map us
together.
That's right.
For this pandemic.
That's right.
Did he not?
Yes,
okay,
he did.
Let's go back to Ministry of Healing 127. It says, disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. In case of sickness, the cause should be ascertained. Now, when we're talking about ascertaining the cause, we're talking about getting to the root cause of the problem.
That's right.
And then it says, unhelpful conditions should be what?
Change.
Wrong habits should be what?
Corrected.
Then nature is to be assisted in her effort to expel the impurity. What is the impurity? Essentially a virus, bacteria. Whatever the impurity is that we have taken upon our body, we are told that we need to assist nature in expelling it out of our system. And then we need to reestablish right conditions in the system.
And I just want to point out, this is how loving God is. Because even in spite of how we treated our body and didn't care, eating any and everything and doing whatever we wanted, God in his love in his love, he still was willing to forgive our iniquity, have mercy, and heal our disease. If you're willing to surrender, God is willing to do that, Trent.
Amen.
Go ahead, brother.
Now, the other element we wanted to touch upon was, as a people of God, what should we be doing right now? Okay. I want to read this quotation from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 7. And I believe it's page 62, all right? Notice what it says in volume 7, page 62. It says, we have come to a time when every member of the church should take hold of the medical missionary. How many members?
Every
member. This is a blanket link, okay? It is not, this is not God saying, okay, Brother Bernard and Brother Yudi should take hold of the medical missionary work. But the Lord is saying every member of the church, every member of the church should take hold of this work. Notice what it says. The world is a Lazarus house filled with victims of both physical and spiritual disease. Everywhere people are perishing for lack of knowledge of the truths that have been committed to us. In other words, God has given us these truths. And people are everywhere perishing for lack of knowledge. They come into the store and they want to know. They're asking questions. You know what was interesting? A guy came into the store this last week and he said something that really struck my mind. I already knew what he said was true, but I said flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. He said God allowed man to eat meat to shorten their life. And this is not a seminary I've been to. I said, where did you learn that? He said, yeah, he said, have you noticed after the flood, their lifespan decreased? He said, I believe God allowed them to eat meat to shorten their lives. And that's exactly what we are told. Right. And inspiration.
He got a point.
That's what inspiration says.
Man had become so wicked, eating flesh. They had become so wicked that it hurt God.
And so God did not want them to continue on in sin for 800, 900 years. And we are also told that flesh meat has a tendency to animalize our nature.
That's right.
Turn us into animals.
Oh, man.
The blood can animalize our nature. And then she says that it will rob us of the love that we will show towards our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, let me finish this quotation.
Okay.
The time has come, because what should we be doing? For the members of the church to take hold of the medical missionary work. The members of the church are in need of an awakening.
Yes.
They need to wake up.
Yes.
The members of the church are in need of an awakening that they may realize their responsibility to impart these truths. Whose responsibility is it to impart the truth that we've been given? Is it the responsibility of the pastors? Is it the responsibility of the conference and so on and so forth, whatever? No, this is our individual responsibility.
That's right.
We need to take up this work in our own hands.
And we're not bragging about Seventh-day Adventists. But if you look at CNN, Anderson Cooper, he had a show of the longest living people on the planet. And guess who was among those longest people? The Seventh-day Adventists. So it's not by coincidence this has happened. This was already foretold a while ago. So we're not just trying to say, oh, we're the only ones. But if you look at the whole Christendom community on a whole, who's actually teaching and preaching on this health message? The gospel and the health message goes hand in hand. And as my brother said, as we see, what is the work for us today?
Right. And also the work that we are to do right now, there's a quotation in letter 135, letter 135, 1899.
Yes.
All right. It connects the medical missionary work with the gospel, because there is a misunderstanding of the gospel work today. And I believe even among those who, quote-unquote, call themselves, present truth.
The present truth police?
The present truth police, yeah, the present truth police. There is a misunderstanding of a connection that should be with the gospel and the medical missionary work, and this is why we don't see it often done. There's a lot of preaching and teaching and things of that sort, but there is very little medical missionary work being done. And this is what we are told in Letter 135, 1899.
Mm-hmm.
The medical missionary work must be, now this is not a suggestion, this is a command. When the servant of the Lord, Christ, and the Most Holy Spirit says must be, the medical missionary work must be as closely connected with the work of the gospel ministry as the hand and arm are connected with the body.
That's right.
So let me just make this analogy. Is your hand and your arm connected to the body? We are told that the gospel and the medical missionary work needs to be connected just the same. You need the gospel ministry to give prominence and stability to the medical missionary work. And the ministry needs the medical missionary work to demonstrate the practical working of the gospel. Okay? So what the servant of the Lord is doing is saying, look, there is to ever be a connection between medical missionary work and the gospel. You can't preach the gospel without it being connected to the medical missionary work.
Right.
Neither can you do the medical missionary work without being connected to the gospel. They go hand in hand as the arm and hand are connected to the body.
For sure.
And last I checked, what do you open up a door with?
No.
The hand.
Yes.
Because the gospel and the medical missionary work, is the right hand. It is the entering wedge. It is that which will break the ice.
Yes.
It is that which will open up the doors that could not before be opened.
That's right. And you know why it's actually connecting the hand to the arm is because Jesus' ministry was what?
Healing. More healing than preaching.
Jesus' ministry was healing and preaching and teaching. So this work must be the same as Christ's work.
Sorry.
And that's why it says it's deeply connected, because it's Christ. And Christ is using us to do his work.
That's right. And also, you know, this is an important text I found, too, in Mark, you know, as we get ready to land and bring this to a close.
Yes.
In Mark chapter 16, I want to begin here because Mark also writes about the Great Commission. The Great Commission we often read from Matthew 28.
Yes, sir.
But Mark also writes about his account of the Great Commission as given by Christ. And I really like his account better than Matthew's account.
Yes, sir.
Of the Great Commission, because he added to it to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And notice what it says in verse 15 of Mark chapter 6. It says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs
for sure,
shall follow them that believe.
In
my name shall they cast out devils. They shall they shall take up serpents.
That's right.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Continuing, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So what we see here is, Christ is saying, look, those that are truly doing my work have no need to worry about demons. And this is not a presumptuous way where you're not taking care of your body, you're not doing the things that you're supposed to do as it relates to the laws of health, because that would be presumptuous.
Sure.
But Christ is saying, if you are doing these things and you are doing my work, you don't need to worry about serpents. You don't need to worry about any deadly thing, any deadly thing. And I will empower you to work with the sick, to deal with the sick, and they shall recover.
So in other words, Zechariah 10, verse 1, and I believe verse 1 and 2 kind of shows us how this is done.
Right.
Okay. And after we read that, I just want to read that.
Go ahead. Okay.
Let's go to Zechariah chapter 10, as our brother was showing us here. It's not presumption. Okay, it's not presumption. But who is with his missionaries? Who is with his missionaries? Zechariah, friend. Zechariah chapter 10,
okay,
verse 1.
Amen.
And it says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass. Where? In the field.
That's right.
In the field. Every one grass. And we know grass represents people.
That's right.
So all of God's missionaries in the field, the rain shall be given to them. And we know the rain is a representation of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
So we can't do this work without Christ and the Holy Spirit going before us doing his work. I want to read this right quick. Councils on Health, page 215, and we'll be beginning paragraph 1.
Page 215, amen.
Yes. Listen to this, very important, friends. God has qualified his people to enlighten the world.
Amen.
He did what? He qualified his people.
Well, how did he do it? Did he do it with a PhD? Well, don't you have to have a PhD to be qualified?
What's that, praising him daily? And it's all going to say,
amen.
He has entrusted them with the faculties by which they are to extend his work. Whose work?
It's
his work. Until it shall encircle the globe.
Have mercy.
God is calling his people, friends. It's time to wake up. It's work to do. Time to walk away from them secular jobs. Because you know what? It's either you take this or you can't work. You take that or you can't eat. Friends, the last work going to be this medical missionary work. Listen to this. Listen to this. In all parts of the earth, they are to establish the sanitarium, schools, publishing houses, and kindred facilities for the accomplishment of his
word. Ah, very good, very good.
And I just want you to read that second paragraph.
Yes, you know. And before I read that second paragraph, this brings my mind to manuscript releases, page 228. God's purpose in giving the third angel's message to the world is to prepare people to stand true to him during the investigative judgment. And then she goes on and named the various institutions that we were to establish and maintain. And that's what you just read here. It says in all parts of the earth, they are to establish sanitariums. They are to establish schools. They are to establish publishing houses. They are to establish health food stores. Hygienic restaurant.
That's right.
And friends, the sanitarium is coming. By the grace of God, the training is coming, the medical missionary training. And whosoever may, whosoever is willing.
Whosoever is willing.
Whosoever is willing.
Are you willing?
Whether there's one that is willing, we will conduct.
And let me tell you something. I just want to testify because we're inviting people. Me and my brother have been working together for a while. Y'all know that. And we have people overseas that we train, we sponsor, okay, out of our very own dollars to get trained, as Christ says, go and make disciples in all nations. It's not just here. It's what the word says, to fill the whole globe.
That's right. Mercy.
There's people that are getting trained and graduating even now, preparing to do this work. Friends, are you willing to sponsor someone? Are you willing to share your blessing, your gift of what you have?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to even support Tree of Life?
That's right. That's right. And notice what it says. This is the quote you wanted me to read there. I'll continue on page 215 of Council on Health. It says, the closing message. Are we at the closing time?
Yes.
This is the closing time.
This is the closing.
We're not setting dates. We're not setting dates. We are not setting dates because we don't do that. But look around, friends. Look around. Christ, by mercy only, is holding back the four winds of strife.
Yes.
It says the closing message of the gospel is to be carried to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So we see the third angel's message.
Come on.
Being given here. This is the purpose for which we established the Tree of Life. It's to better give the third angel's message.
Come on.
The purpose for which we established our sanitarium is to better give the third angel's message.
Sure.
See, there are many who are confused that, and they see the third angel's message as only a theoretical message. And this is the issue that I take with many who do not fully understand or grasp what God has given us to do. It is a practical work. It is not just, okay, I'm going to preach the third angel's message, but what are you doing, friends? What are you doing? Then Christ says, why do you stand idly by all day long?
Right.
Come over and help us.
In my vineyard.
Come over and help. So notice what it says. The closing message of the gospel is to be carried to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. In foreign countries, many enterprises for the advancement of this message must yet be begun and carried forward.
Mm-hmm.
The opening of hygienic restaurants. The opening of what? Hygienic restaurants. And
treatment rooms.
And the establishment of sanitariums for the care of the sick and the suffering is just as necessary in Europe as in America. In many lands, medical missions are to be established to act as God's helping hand in ministering to the afflicted.
And friends, today the word sanitarium is wellness center.
Right.
Yeah, I know y'all say, oh, that's old. No, it's wellness center. Taking care, facilities taking care of people who are sick. And that's what we're planning to do. We're planning to open these facilities that we can train young. We need to take the youth. So many youth are on the streets. So many youth are idle in their minds. They're caught up in videos. They're not focused. So many youth are dying, going to prison. When we can grab these youths in and train them and prepare them for the time is at hand, friends. Jesus says, God is at hand.
That's right.
The time is at hand, friends. It is now time to wake up out of our sleep.
It is now time to hide. As Gideon's army, when they were going to battle, the Lord started with thousands of men.
30,000.
And then he said, the first mandate, whosoever is afraid, go home.
That's right.
If you're afraid of disease, go home. Because there shall be worse pestilences to come.
That's right.
There shall be worse diseases to come. This is just the beginning. Isn't it Christ says in Matthew 24, this is just the beginning.
That's right.
Right? So the medical missionary word must take prominence in such a time as this.
Yes.
God needs missionaries, and let me tell you something. As a missionary, some of us think we're going to come in and be earning a certain amount of salary that we were earning in our secular job. That's not the case.
That's not going to happen.
But God does promise. He does promise. He said, those who make the service of God supreme will find their perplexities vanish. And a safe path placed before their feet.
Mm.
That's the promise he has made. He said, I will provide for you while you are doing my work.
That's right.
Okay? I will provide for you. How many who are willing to pick up this work? How many who are willing to leave? And you know what's interesting? In Ministry of Healing, chapter 40, Help in Daily Living, Ellen White says that when Christ called Peter to the ministry, Peter, to leave his secular job as a fisherman, Peter had a wife to support.
That's right.
And Peter had to learn the lesson of depending upon God as he did the work.
Yes, yes.
He had to learn his lesson on depending upon God as he did the work. And I believe if, here's the other point I wanted to bring, and the Spirit just brought it to my mind, brother. The reason why there's so many issues today as it relates to people who do not want to take a vaccine, and I'm not going to make this political at all, okay? I thought about it, and I said, you know what I said? I thought about it, and the Lord brought it to my mind. Why are we in a position in the first place as Seventh-day Adventists to be at a facility, whether Adventist-owned or non-Adventist-owned, to be in a position where we feel like we have to take a substance that we do not want to take in order to keep our secular job? You know why? Because we never took the counsel that was given to us in the beginning, because we were never supposed to work for the world.
That's right.
God's original plan and design for his people was for them to set up their own industry. Okay? If God's people had set up their own industry and were in a position where they were self-supporting missionaries.
That's right.
If we were truly self-supporting missionaries, as it, the book, the Broken Blueprint, read it. Okay, the original plan for education, the original plan for the industries that we were supposed to set up. God never designed for our work to be separate from our ministry. If we had taken the counsel that was given, we would be far ahead of the world. And we would never be in a position where a man would tell us, you either do this in order to keep your job or so on and so forth. Whether it's right or wrong for you to take it, that's not the question here. What I'm bringing to the forefront is the fact that if we were true self-supported missionaries, as God had designed for us to be, then we would never be in a point where we would feel like we have to sacrifice our bodies in order to keep our livelihood. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Does that make sense? Even Moses got to a point in his life where he said, you know what? I'd rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. God's original plan at this time is going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
There are many who are saying, well, Brother Udi, it's going to go back to normal. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go back to normal. Things are going to get worse and worse as we nearing the second coming of Christ, as the picture is given of the woman who is giving birth. The contractions don't go back to normal. The contractions increase in intensity and in power as the baby is even nearer to be expelled out of the mother's womb, a representation of the second coming of Christ.
You know, the stars even show that. Now, remember what the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. It's by faith that you start to prepare yourself now for the heavy time of trouble comes. Prepare yourself now to learn and to know what you need to know. So when that time comes, you'll be in the Word already. You won't be relying on Egypt economy,
right,
but you'll go back to
Eden's economy.
And I want to just close off with this last text. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus, friends. John chapter 17, verse 15 to 18. John chapter 17, verse 15 to 18. Listen to this. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Verse 16,
they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
sanctify them through thy truth, thy
word.
Thy word is truth. And verse 18, listen to this. Go ahead.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world.
Christ is sending us into the world.
As he went.
As he went.
As he went.
As he is.
He went.
The number one medical missionary evangelist. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you prepared?
Are you prepared?
Are you willing to be a part of this work for me?
Are you willing?
Then bless you. We pray for you. Let us pray and let us continue to seek the Lord while he may be found.
And before you pray, I just had a question that came over.
Oh, yes, we did have
a question that came over that we want to answer regarding the alternative cancer remedies, okay, regarding the uses of vitamin C and so on and so forth. I just want to read this quickly. Vitamin E has an anti-cancerous effect because vitamin E is a lipid antioxidant, okay? And it is a free radical scavenger. It loves to eat. Free radicals are the precursors to cancer, all right? Vitamin E can help with that. But notice what it says. Other studies have disclosed that antioxidants block the action of the common carcinogens that causes cancer.
Mm.
It also is the most important fat-soluble antioxidant in the human body. That is vitamin E.
That's right.
But it only becomes a clear-cut anti-cancer agent when it is used or combined with vitamin C and selenium. In combination with these, it is particularly effective against certain cancers, especially breast cancer, lung cancer, prostate cancer. It is also useful against skin, liver, colon, mouth cancer.
Mm.
So you want to combine your vitamin C with your vitamin E. Keep in mind that vitamin C should be taken daily, either from a natural state. And by the way, I just found out this, that one kiwi, you know, for many, many, many long, I thought the lemon and the orange had a lot of vitamin C in it, which they do. But the kiwi has more vitamin C than a lemon or the orange. Actually, one kiwi a day is all the vitamin C that your body needs. All right? Also remember that if you're taking vitamin C as a powder, all right, vitamin C is not something that should be stopped suddenly. You have to wean yourself off, kind of a thing. And you also want to make sure you keep a low dose of it each day. And you can do that with your natural herbs and your natural remedies. We're going to have more of these alternative remedies for you and next in some of our other videos. Continue to follow us, friends. Continue to study God's word. We're going to bring you more of these studies. I hope you were blessed. We want you to share these videos because let me tell you something. At this time, the church needs
it. Sure.
The people of God need these videos because there's so much infighting about whether or not we should do certain things and whether or not we should do this and that. And groups of people are coming against one another.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of doing the work that God has given to us, you know, we're keeping our eyes on Christ.
Amen.
We're keeping our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Right.
We're keeping our eyes upon him instead of, you know, fighting one another. All right? And remember Third John 2.
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Remember, the life of the flesh is in the
blood.
Cleanse the blood, wash out disease. No disease can live in a healthy, pure blood. God bless you. Thank you all for joining. We see you all. Continue to support and follow us. We love you. We thank you. God bless you all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the vast amount of information you have given on to your servants.
And to the our brothers and sisters who are watching, we pray, Father, that you will continue to fill us with your spirit, your word, that will well up in us as a well of water springing out, Lord. We're asking continually for fresh doses, fresh light from the throne. Oh, Father, as we surrender ourselves, as we humble ourselves before thee, we ask for a fresh anointing and a fresh blessing upon our brothers and sisters out there and around the globe, Father, that they may take up this work and they may go forth in the manifestation of your spirit. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. Thank you, friends. God bless you all. See you soon.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Seems like, thank you for this presentation. And it seems like I have a problem. If everything, the screen is empty. So I just want to thank everyone tonight who joined us to listen to these information. There are a lot of information here. God bless and have a blessed Sabbath. Bye-bye.